Hi, welcome to Activate Podcast, your weekly Christian podcast that seeks to motivate, educate, and inspire, bringing hope to the millennials. Listen to Activate Podcast on Anchor Podcast, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify Podcast, Castbox, Radio Public, or any of your favorite podcast platform. I am your host, Simiu Nalenya, and welcome to today's episode. In our today episode, we are going to focus on sexual assault, partially looking at the cases in our campuses setup, some precaution and more discussion on this. What does the Bible say about sexual assault? How did God used to deal with this case? We shall dig deeper into this shortly. And sexual assault on campuses or college setup is a common problem that often goes unreported. Sexual assault, it includes any unwanted sexually activity, from unwanted touching to rape. Alcohol and drug often play a role in sexual assault on campuses, though it's not limited to this one alone. And maybe if you have been sexually assaulted, it is not your fault. You are not alone and you can get help. The sexual assault definition involve any crimes where offender subject victim to any unwanted or offensive sexual contact. Across Kenya, students are starting to speak out the challenge of this problem. They say actually it is a plague the country is facing. Men and women who are sexually assaulted may face health problems that include depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, and some other emotional depression. But they may also have trouble reporting the assault or getting help they are entitled to from the university or school. And women may also see the person who harmed them regularly in classes or in the lecture hall or other places on campus, which can make it harder to recover from the assault. Today, from a local radio station news, it was reported that some of the hindrances to victim to seek justice is where you find access to P3 forms are becoming even harder. Making hard access to this form, it actually delays justice to the victim. Let's have a look on this bad and this culture of rape. And the rape culture exists when sexual violence become normalized and excused in our society. Common traits of rape culture include objectification of women's body, encourage male sexual aggression against women, or the other way around. It can happen either on women or on men. And the condition of physical or emotional abuse against a man or a woman. This is it leads to this trait of the rape or sexual assault. And behaviors may include victim blaming or criticizing women's appearances or men's appearance. From an article in Al Jazeera that was done by a writer called Louis Donovan in 29th January, that is last year, 2020, some highlights were done concerning sexual assault in our campuses. And in 2020, I came across a hashtag that was Campus Me Too, a campaign by ActionAid and UN Women, where was aiming to raise awareness of an issue which is plagued in Kenyan campuses. The problem has also been highlighted elsewhere in the continent. In October 2019, the BBC documentary Sex for Grade showed widespread harassment at university in Nigeria and Ghana, capturing specific instances of young women and men propositioned sexually by their tutors in order to improve or keep their grades. Some quick basic statistics on sexual violence on campuses is pervasive. I have attached a link on this data that I'm going to share. The link is in the description of this episode. And 13% of all students experience rape or sexual assault through physical force, violence, or incapacitation among all graduate or undergraduate students. Among the graduate and professional, it is reported that 9.7% of the females and 2.5% of the male experience rape or sexual assault through physical force, violence, or incapacitations. Among the undergraduate students, 26.4% of females and 6.8% of males experience rape or sexual assault through physical force, violence, or incapacitation. 5.8% of the students have experienced stalking since entering college, which is unwanting. Students or not college-age adults are at high risk for sexual violence, and male college aged between 18 to 24 years are 78% more likely than non-students of the same age to be victim of rape and sexual assault. In another data that showed that female college aged between 18 to 24, 20% aged between 18 to 24 are less 20% likely than non-student of the same age to be victim of rape or sexual assault. Sexual assault is common among female students in all ages, races, and ethnics. 1 in 5 women in college experience sexual assault. And you can check this information in www.bjs.gov/content/pub. You can get the document there. And studies show that students are at high risk of sexual assault in the first few months in their first and second semesters in college or campuses. Okay, why is sexual assault so common in our campus setup? Sexual assault happens everywhere and to women and men of all ages, but it is common in our college and campus setup, and among adults. Or sexual assault can happen more often to traditional college-age women between the age of 18 to 25. Colleges that get federal funding are required to publicize or report these cases or these vices of assault. And one of the contributors to why these increasing reported rate of sexual assault in campus include use of alcohol and drugs. Campus sexual assault often involve alcohol and drug. One study found that 15% of young women experience incapacitated rape during their first year in college. Being incapacitated means these young women were raped when they could not give consent because they did not know what was happening. Many young adults use alcohol or drug for the first time during their college. Using drugs or drinking too much can make you unaware of what is happening around you. And another contributor is reporting of sexual assault. Only 1 in 5 college-aged women who are sexually assaulted report the attack to the police. And you can check this report on the link in the description. Talking about sexual assault to stranger can be difficult, but reporting sexual assault can prevent attackers from hurting others and help you feel more in control. Reporting also helps school official make arrangements so you do not have contact with someone who assaulted you. Maybe it can be a lecturer or your fellow student. And another contributor is peer pressure. College-age women often live with people their own age on campus rather than parents or other older adults, and students may feel peer pressure to participate in social activity like drinking, using of drug, going to parties, or engaging in sexual activity that make them uncomfortable. Being forced into unwanted sexual activity for social acceptance is a type of sexual coercion. Now let's take a look on the sex assault cases in the Bible and how they were dealt with. The Bible is not silent about rape. The accounts of sexual assault against women are heartbreaking, even gruesome, but they are not brushed under a rug or hushed up. In fact, of the 3 accounts describing a woman who was sexually assaulted, each of them participated into a civil war. Actually, a war was declared after it was noted that this tribe engaged into sexual assault or a rape case. It is normally ended up being somebody or some group of people being killed. an example, take a look when Jacob's daughter Dina was violated by the son of neighboring ruler, that is Shechem. Her brother murdered him, his father, and the all of the men in the city in revenge. We can check full episode of this in Genesis verse 34. The full story is there. After a named concubine was gang-raped and left for dead by men in tribe of Benjamin, the other tribe went to war against them upon hearing of her injustice. A full story, it is in the book of Judges chapter 19 verse 21, actually the end of the book of Judges. It is war because of the injustice that was done to this lady. And after Tamar was raped by her half-brother Amnon, her brother Absalom killed him and incited a rebellion against his father. That is, you can check the story in the book of 2 Samuel verse 13. Rape was neither covered up nor ignored. Instead, it was answered and avenged. It was a cultural convolution that it was answered with outrage and further violence. The case of rape in scripture tells us something about case of rape we are hearing today. These women must be heard and they must be protected. The Old Testament law gives us an even greater picture on how much God takes up the cause of the victim and the vulnerable. There's one passage in particular you can check in Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 23 to 29 where it is safeguarding the women who have been sexually violated. Like all of the legal codes, this law reveals the heart and character of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 23 to 24 it says, if there is a girl who is a virgin engaged to a man and another man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out of the gate and of the city, and you shall stone them to death, the girl because she did not cry out in the city, and the man because he has violated the neighbor's wives. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. Compared to other scenario in this passage, these verses describe a consensual encounter. This law does not use terms like seize or force, but simply implies fines. If a man's fines, you can check that. The significant thing in this verse is the surrounding it defines. Since it is described as happening in the city, it implies that people were there in that city, or people were nearby who could have helped her when she had cried out. Since she did not didn't, the implication is that she did not resist, and therefore she is also responsible because she was betrothed to another man. She was always considered his wife, making this equivalent to adultery as described in Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 22. We can also check this other passage in Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 25 to 27. It says, but if in the field the man finds the girl who is engaged and the man forces her and lies with her, then only the man who lies with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the girl. There is no sin in the girl's worth of death. For just a man rises against his neighbor and murders him. So in this case, when he found her in the field, the engaged girl cried out, but there was no one to save her. I was stunned when I first read this passage. Not only did the rapist receive the death penalty, but the woman was protected from all recourse. She was neither shamed or shunned. The word used for force in this verse is rather specific, especially since it isn't in either of the two laws. It means to take or keep hold of, specifically to seize with violence. The location is significant here also. Unlike the first scenario in which the woman was with earshot of help, this woman was caught in a secluded place, alone and defenseless. She cried out for help but was overpowered. But there was no one to save her. God defend her innocence and ensure both her protections and her reputation are well protected. He shielded her from blame, from the assault and shame it occurred. That really depicts the heart of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 28 to 29, it reads, "If a man finds a girl who is a virgin, who is not engaged, and sees her and lies with her, and they are discovered, then the man who lay with her shall give to the girl's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall become his wife because he has violated her. He cannot divorce her all his days." The implication of this law are more subtle but equally significant. This verse does not use the word force, which can also mean to lay hold or wield. Other uses have the idea of capturing or overwhelming. The story in 2 Kings chapter 14 verse 13, unlike the other scenarios, this one concerns an engaged virgin and does not specify where the violation took place. Also, there's another detail in the law that is quite telling. The verses uses the phrase "they are discovered." The language moves from an individual man and an individual woman to "they." Hang with me here. Okay, it is "they," both of them. Coupled with the fact that this verse does not use the same verb for force, I believe this law describes something other than a violent rape. Was she overwhelmed? Yes. Did this dishonor her? Unquestionably, it is not. Open. Is the man responsible for violating her? Absolutely, yes. But the Holy Spirit inspired a different word in verse 28 to 29. The verb uses in verses 25 and 27, and he did it intentionally. Check it in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 to 17 and also 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19 to 21. The detail that they are discovered together implies some level of mutual responsibility that is different from what we see in verses 25 to 27. The man is held accountable and must marry and provide for the woman. Plus, he can neither divorce her for the rest of his life. In Exodus chapter 22 verse 16 to 27, describe a similar scenario where a young man is reduced and adds that the father can refuse to give this consent to the marriage, but the man still had to pay the price of dowry, which means he was out the money set aside for a bride and he still had no wife. Notice that there was no punishment for the girl, for the young woman was seduced. There's no indication that she was ostracized from her community or shunned by her family. Instead, she was vindicated and her honor was restored. What does this mean? He could use her and lose her. A man couldn't take a woman as an object of pleasure and then bear no responsibility for her. God was protecting the woman in this situation from being left without protection and provision. Women were not to be used and discarded. There's another assault against Eden. Some look at this law and claim that the Bible permits even legalized sexual assault. Therefore, the Bible is oppressive to women. Yet, in each of these scenarios, the victim is protected and violator is punished. Where the woman was not of fault, she never received blame. In fact, she was vindicated. No one of this situation was supposed to happen. God never intended for women to be violated, and he certainly doesn't turn a blind eye on it. This law restrained human sinfulness and set God's people apart from their surrounding culture. But even more, they reveal the nature and character of God, who protects the victim, provides for the vulnerable, and set aside violated. God is decidedly pro-women. The atrocity of rape is disordered exploitation of all that God designed when he created male and female. From the very beginning, he intended for women to be protected and valued, whether she is in a college, in any university, or a 14-year girl. She's not supposed to be subjected to any kind of sexual assault or rape. Any assault against Eve is against Eden, the Garden of Eden, and one day, every wrong committed against every lady will be righted by the justice-keeping God. On ethics and religion, you cannot prevent sexual assault because violent and abrasive behavior is always the responsibility of the person who is violent or abusive. However, you can take steps to be safer around others and who can keep you safe. There's some tips on how to keep yourself safe that I took from womenhealth.gov. And these are some of the steps that can help you, can help me, or can help your neighbor or your friend. The first thing, you need to know someone very well before spending time alone with him or her. College is often meeting new people and making new friends, but do not rely only on someone who just met to keep you safe. Go to parties or hangouts with friends, arrive together, check in with each other, and leave together. Talk about your plans for the evening so that everyone knows and expect where you will be at such a time and at such a moment, and this is where we encourage accountability. Then meet first dates or new people in public places. Don't be quick and rush to meet new people in secret place. Then listen to your instinct or gut's feeling, as people say. Most women who are sexually assaulted know the person who assaulted them. If you find yourself alone with someone you don't trust, leave immediately. If you feel uncomfortable in any situation for any reason, leave. You are the only person who gets to say whether you feel you are safe or not safe. Be very aware of your drinks where you are in parties. Research shows that about half of sexual assault victims have been drinking when the attack happened. This can be include drinking of alcohol or any other drink. And drinking alcohol does not make the attack your fault. But using alcohol and drug can lead to being unaware of what is happening around you. And for that reason, try to avoid alcohol as much as you can. Keep control of your own drinks, because someone could put a drug in your drink without your knowledge. Beware of your surrounding, especially if walking alone. Always avoid walking alone. Avoid talking on your phone or listening to music with your headphone. Know where you are and your move around campuses, especially at night. Stay in lighted areas or ask a friend in campus to keep you or give you company when you are leaving, when it is late, or you are not very secure of the place or the path that you are using. Then when you are walking at night or you are taking some trips that you are not well conservant with the streets, before you leave your room, always make sure that your phone is 100% charged. This will keep you connected with your friends and family just in case anything happens. And also, have a backup credit and cash when you're going for dates. Never go for a date empty-handed. Make sure you are able to pay your bills and you are able to pay your fare back. It is my hope that this episode has been of help to you. Do you have any question or you need more of this conversation? Please feel free to reach me via my email at cmediake@gmail.com. cmediake@gmail.com. Or direct DM me, I'll be able to respond back. It was your host, Simeon Alienya. Until next time, keep safe.